I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
Today, we are hunting for that elusive heart condition that is supposed to be a part of the spiritual signature in every single authentic Christian. You know what we call that? Happiness. Yeah, happiness. That's what I like to hear. Happiness. And I'm not talking about the fleeting emotion, right? But the deep joy of a life well lived. That's what we're talking about. And to see where we're at right now, where each of us stands, I want everyone to ponder this question right here. Are you living your best life? Yes? That was a quick answer. All right, good job. Be like her. Remember, this does not mean just grinning and giggling all the live long day. That's not what we're talking about here, right? I'm asking that when you really like step back and take stock, are you pleased with your part that you are playing in this big picture? Another way to say this is, are you fully fulfilled? Do you feel that? Okay, well, let's find out. To start off with, let's get physical. How many of you are 100% happy with your present body? Me neither. Me neither. Let me ask you this. Would you prefer a perfect one?
Yeah.
You don't really have to answer. We all know the answer to that, right? It's not just universal. It is biblical, baby. We, and that means all of us, that we grow weary in our present bodies, right? And we long to put on our heavenly bodies like new clothing, just like that. Because we've talked about this before, but don't you ever forget, you don't have a soul. You are a soul who has a body. And down here, life is just a dress rehearsal. It's a dressed up rehearsal. Because just as your body outlasts a pair of pants that you might buy, your soul outgrows your body as its temporary attire. Feeling it all the time. I got some holes in these jeans here that I'm wearing right now. And look at how Paul puts this. I love it. Now we know that if the earthly tent that we live in, aka your body suit that you're wearing right now, is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Okay, talk about living your best life right there. We're designed to go from earthly tent to eternal house, right? From temporary down here to permanent, from vulnerable to invincible. That's what we're supposed to do. So yeah, you bet. No wonder we're not physically fulfilled with what we got down here. It's because we instinctually anticipate our upgrade that's coming. We know it's coming. And that knowledge makes it so hard to tolerate what we're working with right now. I want the upgrade. This is not cutting the mustard. And that is just what it's like to be a kid. You remember that? I hated being a kid. Oh, I wanted to be older from the moment I was born. I couldn't stand being told that I had to wait or I wasn't ready for the things that I wanted just because I was too young. That set me off. So I tried to work ahead of it. I tried to skip the process. And when I tried to skip ahead, I paid the price. And a lot of us do that. You know that. A lot of us try to push the process to prove we're as adult as any parent. Like, oh, I get it. I'm growing. I'm ready for it. No, we're not. And the truth is this. The truth is we won't grow up and actually get there without living out each important step from the start. We have to go through the growing process. We got to get our minds right and act our actual age along the way. And if you are honest with yourself, once again, in the spiritual scheme of things, you better believe that we're still kids right now, all right? Ain't none of us got it figured out. And accepting that identity as a spiritual kid here happens the moment that we treat God as our superior authority and actually trust him as our perfect parent. That's how it works. We're told that because we don't do anything. We don't do a thing to make that true. Being God's child is not something that we undertake. It is just something we understand, all right? It doesn't come from our hand. We don't attain it. We just accept it. Amen? Good, because listen, what happens if you don't hear? He was in the world. He was in the world. And though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. And yet, to all, every single one of them who did receive him, to those who actually, like we're supposed to, who did receive him and believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. That's how you do it. So here's the big question. Honestly, it's a simple question, and you're going to say yes, but just really be honest with yourself here. Have you accepted your role as his kid fully? Or are you still pushing for parent status? A little bit. It's tough. So let's see if we can slow your roll and to help you accept God's role here. Because last week, I love this. This was so funny, and I identify with it so much. Last week, Bruce was teaching us to appreciate mom, and he talked about Disneyland. He hinted at how Disneyland hits different for kids than it does parents. And he put up this picture here. And in this picture, I found my motivation to keep my kid status forever. Okay, all you have to do is just ask yourself, would you rather go to Disneyland as a kid or a parent? Really, think about what the experience is like. And before you really answer, I want to dig into this here. I want to do a little forensic investigation of each experience, okay? So study this picture for a moment. You see that, right? Look at all the expressions and everybody and the tiredness and all the stuff that's going on here. And then I want you to look at this one, okay? Because this picture right here is a picture. Oh, look at me. I'm so full of life. That's right. What happened? Anyway, this right here is a picture of me and my wife the first time that we went to Disneyland as the parents. I'd been as a kid. This is the first time we did it as the parents. And here's what I want you to notice, okay, from these two pictures. We're different families in different decades, but the differences between parent and kid are still the same. And when we stop and think about it and unpack the parts that both sides play, it is very clear that it wouldn't work any other way. Kids got to be kids. Parents got to be the parents. I want to break it down a little bit here. I want you to consider Exhibit A. Okay, Exhibit A, burdens. Burdens. I want you to notice this. Both children are only carrying an absurdly large, soon-to-be sticky candy baton. Like a baseball bat. I don't know why they even make them this big, right? Meanwhile, that's all they have. That's everything that they have to carry around. Meanwhile, I've got cargo pants and a backpack that is just full of supplies that is almost entirely centered on serving these two masters. You know, what can I do for you? Just that's all that's in there is maybe this, a toy, money, whatever it is. This is the beginning. Exhibit B, comfort, okay? I want you to notice how both my wife and I are awkwardly posed. You know, awkwardly posed to accommodate whatever space these precious VIPs naturally need so that they can feel free to be their adorable selves. Just whatever it takes, we'll work around you, right? Exhibit C, safety. Okay, safety, same thing here. It's no accident that we're flanking our children, right? It's because this is the standard procedure for the whole trip. Anywhere we go, Denny's, it doesn't matter. We're like, they're okay, everybody's got them. It's like we are active members of a secret service that is protecting these little presidents from I don't know what, but we have to all the time. Okay, Exhibit D, guidance. I want you to notice this one, that Cameron here, the youngest, Cameron, his cute little face, what happened? Cameron is subtly staring at me to take his cue for what to do here, right? Because he knows, they all know this, they know that we have put in the work to anticipate their every single need so these powerful players won't have to worry about a thing, just look to someone else and we got it taken care of. And then lastly, Exhibit E, sacrifice. All right, it is hard to see in this photo, but our wallets are significantly thinner since we spent all of our savings to finance their fun, and I mean all of it. We were rolling quarters. Anyway, that's the experience from both. We know that. If you've ever done it, you can identify. But let's be honest now. Seeing that, painting that picture, understanding what's behind that picture, let's be honest and break down the same relationship from a spiritual standpoint, okay? Parent and child, which role are you ready right now to take on? Honestly. honesty. You hear that? That's right. That's me too. That's exactly right. And based on that answer, what you're actually ready for, answer this: which role would bring you more joy? I want to go as a kid. Come on, it's obvious, right? It's being a kid by a mile. I would love to go to Disneyland as a kid. That ship has sailed. I don't want to miss it spiritually. We got to be the kid. And it's not because we don't desire to provide like a parent, right? We may have that heart. It's because we haven't grown enough to give what that role requires. We're not there yet, and we have to be honest about it. Because just think about it. If you're actually honest, think about the people in your life. Think about what it would truly take to spiritually bear burdens and create comfort and secure safety and give guidance and sacrifice yourself. Truly, really, that is a lot. And that is beyond our ability. We can't do it. We can't. And I tell you, this is a great truth that takes a long time. It's a painful lesson to learn. Trying to live a life that is beyond our ability is a recipe for disaster. That's me trying to skip those steps and trying to act like I'm older than I am. It's a bad idea, because until we accept our identity as the kids that we are while we're down here, who are supposed to grow with the help of a perfect parent, then we're going to keep paying the price for pushing the process. We're going to keep feeling that dysfunction. We're going to feel unfulfilled. That's what happens if you try to skip those steps. So humble yourselves. This is the best advice you're ever going to get. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Like, don't worry about it. It's coming late at the appropriate time. So cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. And that means he takes care of you. It is not the other way around. Don't think that you got to take care of things, all right? He's the one who's taking care of stuff. So you want the big secret to living your best life? It's so simple. It's just harmony in your identity. Doing it right. To feel fulfilled, you got to know your role. And then you got to play that part. No skipping ahead, no cheating. You are God's kid, not his equal. And we have to remember that each and every day. And we need to be careful that we're not acting any different. This is stuff that we all say we know, but it slips a little bit and we start acting like we think we should be in charge. This is a little gut check here. Because everything only works when things are where they're supposed to be, right? When roles are being played by the right people. And in perfection, in a world of perfection, there is a place for everything, and everything is actually in its place. And the Jews had a word for it. They called it shalom. Okay? I love this word. It's awesome. It's often translated peace. It's kind of how they say like hello. It's like the Jewish aloha. You know, shalom, shalom here, shalom there. Shalom, it just means all of this stuff. But instead of just peace, what it actually really literally means is that perfection, that wholeness, that completion of everything. It's when everything is as it ought to be and behave. It's just the correct, right operation in the original, intended, godly perfection. Shalom. It is where we are aiming. That is what we want there. And nothing, including us, nothing in this universe is ever fully fulfilled until it is put in its perfect place where it is supposed to be by design, which means this is the whole message right here. You gotta absolutely have to do the true you before you live your best life. You gotta do who you really are the right way to live your best life. You gotta find your fit, and then you gotta be put in your place. Because here is the truth, and you can diagnose all of your problems this way. All of life's anxiety, all of its sorrow, all of its frustration really comes from this single conflict of just being misfit, not where you're supposed to be. That's when things are out of order, right? Where we get that phrase. We're out of order. Things are falling apart. We are not fit where we're supposed to be. And misfits are made when there's a conflict between who you are and who you're meant to be. We got to be the thing that we're meant to be. We got to act it out. And that's why teenagers are so weird in the way that they are. They're misfits. It's true. They are misfits. fit, right? And we all remember it, okay? And a lot of us, look, most of us are still in that same spot because it is hard to find your fit. You're trying to figure it out. And it's hard to accept the role of being a kid when you start to actually see where your growth is going. You start to grow up and you see what is promised. You see where this thing is going and you want to just skip the line and go up there. And it's so hard. So you have this conflict of accepting your role even though you know what's coming. Do you remember the first Matrix movie? Oh, love this movie. This movie, oh, it was such a good noodle baker for me. It made me think so much in so many interesting ways. And it came out at the perfect time for me when I was 17 years old, right at the height of my own teenage confusion and conflict. And I will never forget how it just nailed down a common frustration that we can all feel about feeling our fit. It was when Morpheus is coming to Neo, our hero, and he says, here's your problem. He says, what you know, you can't explain, but you feel it. You felt it your entire life, that there's something wrong with the world. You don't know what it is, but it is there like a splinter in your mind driving you mad. Yup. I remember that feeling. That mysterious misery, that conflict inside me was spot on. And I watched the rest of the movie. And so since Keanu got his answer, I was like, I'm going to start looking myself. So I started searching for the source of frustration in my fit, what was stopping that. And I eventually found the cause of my conflict in, get this, the Bible of all places. I tell you, it was the last place I looked at the time, but there it was. This scripture, love this scripture. God has set eternity in the human heart. Yet, no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. What a cruel trick. What a tough situation. There you go. Once again, a heart set on something beyond our ability is what creates the conflict, right? We know that eternity, but we don't get it yet. Oh, how I hated being a kid. Hated being a kid, still do. It's hard to accept. And that inner struggle to accept or reject our child identity is what it comes down to us. I just want to know, and I can't be content to not know. And that little inner conflict that splits us each in two. We know this feeling, right? This is why it's in like every cartoon. You grow up seeing this stuff, right? We know that we have those two sides of us that are always fighting each other. The flesh, that's what it is. The impatient flesh that wants to push for the parent status right now. I want those things that I want and I want it now and I don't want to wait. You know, that one that wants to be the kid, that's the flesh side of you. While our God-given spirit knows its place and it's willing to wait because it knows that's how we get there and that's how we get that perfection. And that's, you know, those two yous there, the battle is going to keep on raging between the two yous. We know that. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Well, don't they come from your desires that battle within you? Yes, they do. You can nail all of them down. It's just two conflicting desires. That's where conflict comes from, who you are, who you ought to be. But in case you're ever feeling like one side's winning more than the other or you're giving it some ground, just do this little experiment. Think about what would actually happen if the flesh won without going through the growth, right? Because in our analogy, that would be exactly like a trip to Disneyland where the kids got to run the show. And you know how that would go. It would be a hot mess before a painful death pretty immediately. This is, I don't know if you guys have ever seen, what was this? I forget the name of it, Dreamland? Some ironic name that is absolutely untrue. This is a Japanese knockoff of Disneyland that fell to pieces and got abandoned, and now it's the most dangerous place on earth, not the happiest place on earth. That's what it would be like if my kids were in charge of it right now. And we know this. This is where things go if you let the kids take on the parent role. Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires, you know, which is growing up before they're ready. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. That rightful, good, patient growth that takes us to the place we're supposed to be. And the mind governed by flesh, of course, is death. But the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. Ooh, and that's the stuff right there. Life and peace, they go hand in hand. So here's the moral of the story. We got to give in. We have to give in and give the Spirit complete control if we want to live our best life now. We have to do it now. We got to accept our role where we're at right now as God's kid. Stop trying to push past that as God's kid. And then we got to play that part out in everything that we do. Be the kid. Be the kid. And that means that we have to let him lead us. We're not in charge. We're not leading this thing. We got to let him lead us through the steps that grow us until we are ready for what he wants to show us. It's on his schedule. We just grow up. That's it. And the path to being that person, to growing into that person, and living out our best life comes from following Jesus as the life. That is it. Jesus is that example. Because when you know you as a child of you know who, you know that his son is the picture of what you do. That's what we got to be doing, which is why God gave us Jesus as our example to explain exactly who we are. He's our role model. Literally, he models our role and reveals the full potential of living out our true identity. 100% human, 100% God. That's where you can go. He's the picture of a perfect fit. And he's also the proof that any and all unfulfilled misfits like us down here are fixed by merely playing the parts that God gave us as his kids. Oh, it's such a, I mean, it sounds easy and it's hard in practice. So we're just going to keep nailing this thing home. John gets it. John excitedly explains that also this is what it's all about. Living as God's kid is our best life presently, right now, because right now that is all we're equipped to do. That is all we can do. So that's all we're supposed to do now to get ready for everything later. That's great news. That is great news. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. Oh, it's a blessing. And that is what we are right now. That is what we are. Now we are children of God. And what we will be has not yet been made known, but we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him. That's a promise. That's awesome. So the more that we accept and act out the role that Christ modeled, the more we'll start to see and feel our fit in shalom. That place we're supposed to be. Stop trying to do anything but be a kid. This is the best news ever. Just be a kid on vacation at Disneyland. Okay? Is that too hard? No, that's wonderful. But that's the role. And fulfilling our role is what makes us feel whole. And having that wholeness is what makes us feel happiness. If you could just be content to be who you're supposed to be, a kid. And when Jesus is praying to the Father for all of his present and future followers, he makes it clear that he is equipping us, has equipped us with everything that we will ever need to overcome our angst and accept our identity and play our part. In other words, he showed us how to live happily ever after. Guaranteed. This is what he says. He says, Father, I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world so that they, that's us down here, they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I got to tell them the secret. This is it. This is how to be the son. God knows us, though. God knows his kids. He knows every hair on our heads. And so he knows how hard it is for us to overcome our impatience. Oh, we are not the best. So he sent his son, he sent his spirit, and he sent his word to give us a glimpse, just a little peek of how it feels when we finally find our fit and get fully fulfilled. Because this is it, a tiny taste. A tiny taste is a great way to stay hungry without ruining our appetite. That's what he gives. That's what he gives. And God's creation is full of them. It is so full of them, full of these fun flavors to keep us kids all excited for what's to come. Keeps us on the hook. I got to ask you this. I heard this fact. It's so fascinating. You ever heard people yell, olé? Olé, you know, like at a bullfight, you know, olé, we got this guy, right? That's incredible, olé, okay? Do you know what that means? It means God. It comes from Allah, the way, you know, Middle Eastern, Allah, olé, olé. Because down here, this is the idea, down here, when we see something so spectacular, so incredible, some feat that is beyond our ability, we immediately suspect the source as something godly, and we sense that shalom, somebody's about to nail where they, but like they're doing something that is a perfect fit. This is the maximum ability. And that's so cool. They go, Olay, that's incredible. That's godly. And God is constantly giving us these exciting glimpses of the coming world that is worth waiting for. In all of those moments, in each Olay that we see is an appetizer. It's an appetizer that keeps us hungry and happy as kids until we're ready and willing for the full measure of God's full joy. These are those little, these little things. Okay, so here we go. I hope you're ready for this one. So until then, living in the Olay spirit leads us to the Holy Spirit. too much of a wrench? I know. But it's the mindset that you got, the groans. There's always like a, oh, begrudgingly, yeah. But it's true, these little moments, that's what gives us that taste for it, right? We get these little peeks into the heavenly, and we see that. And I think, because we all see them, I think maybe we should start calling them out around here, calling out these holy moments, all right? Imagine this, it'd be such a great perspective reminder, the same way that we say bless you after a sneeze, and we're like, oh, bless you, that's nice, that's kind of, that reminds me, yeah, right, of how things work down here. But I want you to imagine it this way, all right, okay? Get a hole in one, holy. Right? You eat a great meal. Hole. Hole. Nope. Nope. I was waiting. I knew it. Nope. No hole. There's no hole guacamole. For me, it would be this one. It's the parallel parking perfectly in one move. That's when your wife better say, hole. That's incredible. That was you don't do that down here. That's next level, literally. But it is so true. It is so true. All of these things down here, right? These earthly pleasures were never meant to permanently satisfy. That's not what they are about. Only to suggest and awaken our desire for the eternal fulfillment. That's what it's all about down here. And each glimpse of the godly ought to remind and encourage each of us that living our best life right now means accepting that the best is yet to come. That's what we need. We gotta have that mindset. This is great. This is as good as it can get down here, but it gets better up there. So come on, kids, settle down. Settle down, kids, and take delight in the Lord by trusting him, by trusting everything that he has planned while you play this part down here. And you know what? Promise right here. He will give you the desires of your heart. Guaranteed. If you take delight in him. Because when you know that dad is running the show, you can enjoy this trip the way that we're supposed to without worry or whining. We can do it right like the kids at Disneyland. So what do you say we stop pushing the process and start taking the time to appreciate all of these little treats that God has planned and packed into this life for all of us kids? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Can I get a hole?
Hole.
All right, well then let's pray. Father God, we love you so much as our perfect, absolutely perfect parent, and we thank you for the joy that we get in each and every glimpse of what you have got coming for us kids. And Holy Spirit, we ask that you fill us up and chill us out so that we can let go of control and enjoy this trip down here as the carefree kids that we were meant to be. And Lord Jesus, we follow you as our example, and we praise you for the work that it took to teach us how to humbly live our best life. And to that, everybody said, amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.